Welcome to Q Ideas with Gabe Lyons.
Q is about conversation.
If we're really concerned about ending poverty, we've got to be more concerned about creating justice.
Our cultural products as Christians need to both defy and resonate with the culture.
And God's doing amazing things. His church is expanding. His church is growing.
It's not what's the purpose of my life. It's what is the purpose that's been assigned.
Stay curious. Think well. Advance good. This is Q.
Welcome back to Q Ideas. I'm Gabe Lyons, and I'm getting this fun privilege of interviewing my wife, Rebecca Lyons, who just this week launched her second book, You Are Free, Be Who You Already Are, and we're just continuing this great conversation about freedom and what it means for all of us. I'm here with Rebecca, and this is a little fun because it's obviously my wife.
It's a lot of fun.
We get to talk about some cool things today, and one thing I'm excited about is finally, like, the story you've been living out over these last few years is going to print. Right now, people have it in their hands. It's your new book, You Are Free, and I just want to talk with you, not as like a traditional interview, but you're my wife, so we get to talk all the time, but now it's like people are listening in. The fun part of this project for me is I get to sit behind the scenes and live life with you and then see you start to articulate and lay out just like what you're learning. And I see how it has such an impact on so many people. And this project, You Are Free, from behind the scenes was really difficult. Like it was I think you would say one of the hardest things you've done in trying to express what you've been learning and really what God's been speaking to you in your own life. So just walk us through a little bit of this message for those who know you from the beginnings of Q Women now in our fourth year coming up in April. We'll have Q Women again here in Nashville, but they've seen you talk a lot about calling, understanding like what it means for women to find their voice and their role and to live this out. This message, you carry on from that, but there's some different nuance to that discussion.
So. Absolutely. Well, I feel for you because you got to see you got a front row seat to the 4 years really between these two projects. And whenever someone writes a book, I think, at least for me, I'd only done this once. And I remember leaving going, okay, yeah, that was fun. I'm never doing that again. There's this sense of release of bearing your soul on a page, getting it out there, and then just kind of being done with it. But about a year after that, I started to share this message of the first book and talk about, you know, my crash and burn in New York that we both obviously walked through together and what panic disorder looked like, what rescue from that season looked like. And then that became a message and I started to share that. And so this book really picks up about a year after that first one ended, and it was where I had wakened to this idea of calling. You know, we talk about calling a lot in the Q space and how it's really marked by where your talents and your burdens collide and what does that mean for each of us? What are talents, these birthright gifts, and what are the burdens, the things that break our heart, and where do they come together? And so I felt like in some way I was starting to walk that out and I was starting to live that in a way of sharing, this burden I felt for mental illness, in my own story and in my own journey and my family, but then also, this natural talent or whatever God-given birthright gift of just sharing or communicating. And so I was kind of skipping around the city those last couple years. And I remember journaling about a year in and saying, I'm excited, God, I'm excited. I sense you want to set a lot of captives free. And immediately, the response that came that just stopped me in my tracks was, well, okay, Rebecca, how about we start with you? And that caused a lot of pause for me because I thought, well, aren't I free? I'm sharing and doing and all these things. And I learned quickly that we can wake into our call. But if we're not careful, it can turn into a prettier version of striving and the motives behind it might not be what God imagined in the first place. And so I learned that quickly when I was doing all these things for the approval of others. And yet the approval of God was not enough for me. And so that's where this book begins, this free to confess. I had to just get honest before the Lord and say, I'm sorry, you're not enough. I need the approval of everyone else. And he started to show me that, hey, there's a heart healing that needs to begin here. And that's kind of where it yeah. takes off.
And you're obviously so vulnerable. You're way more vulnerable than I am. I know anytime I read your manuscript and you ask me to read it, I'm like, you're sharing that story?
I know.
What are you doing? Isn't that private? Do we have any lines here?
Yes.
And that's kind of a
yes.
consistent discussion
yes, it
with
is.
You and I. Because you're
Welcome
you're,
to Gabe and Rebecca's conversations.
I would say you quote unquote are more free than I am to just share
free
everything
to,
you're thinking,
share.
Everything you're feeling. Any Instagram story you want to post, like you just do it right then, whatever you're thinking about. And I'm way more like guarded and care a lot about like not doing that. And so it's funny. And I would say what I've seen from you living that out is, it invites people into your life and into conversation and into sharing pain and hurt and all kinds of things that they're, you know, thinking about and you're like a friend, you know, you're like the person people could rely on to like help them think about some of this stuff. But in the message of You Are Free, you start out with this idea of confession and realizing that in your own life, you need freedom. I think for a lot of people when they hear freedom, I know even when you first talked
right.
about this idea of freedom, I'm like, I don't quite know. I mean, people in America think about freedom as like a way in which we have freedom in America, right? Liberty,
right.
that idea. But when you're talking about freedom, like sum that up a little bit. What are we talking about?
Well, as a child, I think I had to ask myself that question. Part of like, it's hard to know freedom until you know bondage. And so I had to unpack it kind of from the outside in. And when I was young, I remember meeting God in the secret place when I would like ride my bike at dusk and around the neighborhood or do long laps in the pool and just felt alone. But God was near. There was a nearness in a secret place with God that slowly faded when I would step into areas of performing, whether it would be school or academics or even family or church. And I would put all these pressures upon myself and then I started to put that on God. And I thought that the lie I began to believe was that I wasn't worthy of love unless I earned it. And I didn't know that this was a conscious lie that I believed, but I think I walked through my childhood and into college and even into adulthood, always feeling this need to be on or to be enough to win the approval of everyone else. And so I think the first book was more an external journey into healing. And this book is more of an internal heart healing of Jesus saying, hey, you know, Rebecca, from the beginning, I've always loved you with a relentless love, and it's never been conditional or measured on what you can do for me. It's always been readily available to you. But sometimes some of us have to just kind of fall on our face before we really surrender to that idea that we don't bring anything to the table to deserve more of God, or we don't do anything to repel him if we do anything wrong. And so that's where this began to unfold. And he showed me, he said, if you're willing, I want to show you all the places I want to set you free, or show you that you can already live free. And so the book takes a turn, and it's confession, but it doesn't end there. It's like, you're free to ask for things that you aren't sure you could believe that I could answer, or mm-hmm. you're free to begin again. You're free to rest. You're free to wait. You're free to grieve. I mean, I go into the story of Kate's birth, you know, as we both know, like grief is a process that's very necessary towards healing. Free to love, free to confess, and free to set free. So this was an unfolding, and what made it so painful, I think, it was a pain, but it was a joy. It was almost a sense of unlocking or uncovering some things that I'd never really wrestled down. Until, you know, here we are in adulthood with kids that are older. And that's been the sweetness of this story.
And your subtitle for this book's called Be Who You Already Are, really makes the case, essentially, that we're all designed to be free. We're all designed to experience freedom. But a lot of things cover that up. We get entrapped by decisions we make, or we feel in bondage in all kinds of ways that, as you mentioned, we don't even realize it. Like, we're just living life and we don't know that we're not experiencing freedom. So for somebody like me, like who's trying to understand the freedom message more, like talk more about the idea of this is who we were meant to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's in Christ we're free. So Galatians is the book on freedom, and it's written to the church. And Jesus says, he's like, it is for freedom that you are free. It's like, I came so that you could be free. And the freedom I offer you frees you from any bondage of sin or death or anything that kind of buries you or burdens you. And so in society or in the world or in culture, we would, the identity we take there is like whatever's wrong with us. We begin to label ourselves by our brokenness and we take on that identity. And Jesus says, okay, those might be things coming against you, but that doesn't define who you are. Because in me, you're free. And so it was more me wrestling with this idea of like, if Christ says, as a son or a daughter of him, of a king, what does freedom look like when we live in a world that is broken and we suffer from a lot of different things and we watch all that brokenness around us? How do we put those two things together and say, we might be under something or be attacked by something or have struggles, but what does this freedom then respond? How does it help us respond to those things?
So going back a little bit, a lot of people, you know, that follow you and have read the first book, Free Fall to Fly, which was all about our life in New York and some of the experiences that you were engaging there. You know, now we live in Nashville, so like a lot's happened. Our life's changed. A lot of that was deliberate. And I think part of your story is you're sharing like all that you've learned in understanding that God meets us no matter where we're at, no matter what city we live in or suburb or whatever, and that there's a lot of ways in which that's expressed. So like, for example, some of your chapter titles, you talk about free to rest, you know, free to celebrate, free to be brave. Like, talk a little more about the one called Free to Rest. Cause I know for us, like this season of the last couple of years now being in a new setting and out of kind of the constant frenetic activity of New York City has brought a little more rest. And why is that important? What has that meant to you? How has it changed the way you're thinking about life?
Well, I love that God's not casual about rest. It wasn't optional in creation and it wasn't optional for us. But I do think we get in this pace where we're just constantly feeling like if we let down or we stop, a ball will drop and then we won't really know how to pick it back up. And I know for us, when we left New York after four plus years and we entered Franklin, friends kept saying, I sense you're entering a season of rest. And honestly, I just resisted that initially. I thought, I don't want to rest. I just started running in my lane. Hebrews 12, right? We're supposed to run the race. And rest to me felt like I'd been benched or I'd tripped in my lane and everyone else kept running by. And really what it was an invitation in that season because we were new to the city, didn't know a lot of people. The kids were getting into schools and we had a small footprint right here in downtown Franklin. I got to be alone a lot, actually, in midweek before I'd go back on the road that weekend to share or teach somewhere. And that began a real sweet season of abiding. And in that time, I read a book, Abiding with Christ, by Andrew Murray, written in 1895. And I love books by dead people because they cut through the noise of today. There was the way in which he would talk about the intimacy between the vine and the branch. I started to see Jesus, his nearness. And I started to journal at that time, the artist's way practice. And I would get up early and it's not like I'm a morning person, you know, but sometimes I just can't sleep and I'd get up and I start to write. And it just began this ongoing conversation with God that was sweet and intimate and kind. And it's when I really started to receive his love in a new way. I started to feel his presence more consistently and that rest started to revive me in a fresh way that I hadn't really had in those years in New York.
Yeah. And you still, even in our daily life, I think you are free to rest. Every morning I take the kids to school and you're typically still resting. It's because, I mean, this sharing probably too much information, but you tend to wake up early in the morning, you know, 3 a.m, 2 a.m, 4 a.m.
That's embarrassing.
And I'll often wake up and you're not there. And I know exactly where you're at. You're out on the couch. Little lamp on, candle lit, praying, journaling, reading scripture, truly abiding, you know, and then you'll come back to bed at 4 or 5 and then you get to rest of your night sleeping. But I mean, that's just become a rhythm. And I know you kind of look at it as like,
it's not
a fun thing or not a discipline that you're trying to do, but it's just like you keep waking but you've had a season of just that sweet kind of time with God that I think a lot of people hear about. Man, I wish I could get up in the mornings. I wish I could spend time in prayer and scripture, but like, what has that meant to you and your relationship with God to just have these quiet mornings, time in the middle of the night with him?
For a long while, I was I was frustrated about it, honestly. Yeah, you know me. I was like reading The Sleep Revolution by Erin. I was trying to do all the things to sleep better. And finally, I just said, Lord, if this is a season where you just want to interrupt, you want this one-on-one time, because as you know, during the day, it has been, as the book gets closer to release, and it's been a busier season of work and things. And I think I look at that middle of the night time as just an invitation for stillness, like conscious stillness. And it's kept me grounded, honestly, in a season that's been very rigorous and demanding. It's helped me be very aware of my weakness, very aware of his strength in it. And it's just kept him close. And so it's not always 3 a.m, but when it is, I usually take that as an invitation to just get up and read. And then before long, I do get sleepy and I go back to bed, but it's just where we are right now, and we'll see where it goes.
Yeah. And the other thing that you do that's really unique, because you and I both travel a little bit and speak and have opportunities to share the message that God's put in our heart. And I know when I see you speak and you spend time with women, like the reaction is really sweet. And at the end of talks, like you'll stay back for 2 hours and pray over women and really pray for healing in their life, pray for the brokenness, praying for freedom. And you're seeing that happen in like so many people's lives. I see the letters, the stories, the emails of people just experiencing freedom for the first time. Do you think this is a message that just like church hasn't been talking about enough, or like why is there such a need for this right now, unique to like 2017? Like what are some of the bondages maybe that you're seeing that are popping up all over that you're just like, man, we've got to speak this truth to people, because if we're not set free, we truly can't experience the abundant life.
Well, I think we all want peace right now, especially in our world. Everyone's in opposition. Everyone's divided. Everyone's afraid. So you think of even in the church, like we're not supposed to be given a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. We are blanketed by the Prince of Peace, and yet the world is crying out for peace, but we are bearers of peace. And so the church has got to come around this idea of freedom, because if we don't, we will have nothing to offer the rest of the world. We would fall in the same category of just reacting and responding to all that is wrong instead of stepping boldly into something and offering something that is true and that is good and lovely and pure. And so I think we feel those attacks personally in the church. And I think it's a testing in some ways to go back to the pages of scripture and go, God, are you really who you say you are here? Are you good on your word? Will you redeem what's broken in my own life? Will you restore the relationships in my marriage or my kids that I have lost hope in? Will you come around me in this time of sickness or disease or even mental anxiety or torment? Will you draw near to me even here? And I think God is trying to get our attention to cry out to him again, to invite him into our mess, to stop trying to do it on our own and just say, my life isn't my own. You are the one who makes all things new. And so my prayer, I think I see people waken to this because it's almost like an exhale for the church. Like, hey, guess what? We don't have to do this on our own. We can cry out to God, and that's what he's here for.
Yeah. Well, I wondered too, I know a lot of men benefit from this message. I know God's used your writing to impact me as I read these books and I see it lived out. But for women specifically, are there unique things you're seeing right now that constantly, as you're having one-on-ones and you're meeting with women over coffee or you're, you know, praying over them, like, are there just unique attacks that you think are happening from the enemy to women?
Yeah, I think women have lost their voice for a long time. And so you'll have the world's response to this is that we need to get really loud and really angry and possibly bitter. What I am inspired by and seeing more women, they're finding their confidence in God, and they are speaking with authority and kindness and humility. They're finding their voices in their homes, in their communities, and in their churches. They're not feeling like they need to attach their voice to someone else for validation, but they're just speaking from the Spirit prompting them in their own hearts. That gets me really excited. I think there's a lot around the bend for that, for women.
Yeah. And here in Franklin, you've been able to, with a couple friends, you guys have created this thing called The Well. And on once a month, the women from around the city, I think over 85 churches are participating in this evening, where there's a lot of freedom, you know, there's worship and times for prayer and, mm-hmm. and breakthrough for people mm-hmm. and teaching. And it's truly, I've been able to witness that, just seeing people come to life. And I think as you imagine and pray into the future of like how God might use this message and inspire other women, is that part of what you hope to see happening in cities around this country, around the world, mm-hmm. is just more and more people seeking after true freedom, but in solidarity.
In the context of, yes, community and unity. I mean, the idea of the well is unity. And just like we want that for Nashville, we would pray for that for all of our cities, that there would be no walls of division, even amongst churches, when we come together and we worship and lift up his name in spirit and truth, and we listen as he speaks to our hearts. And as we cry out for the things we need, the thing that I get the most excited about, even most recently, is just to really challenge and charge the women to minister to each other. Like, it's not my job or somebody else's job. It's everyone collectively has so many giftings and talents and anointings in the body. And so I always encourage, like, if you came with someone or brought someone who is desperate for prayer in this particular area, let's stop right now and let's pray over each other. And that's been just beautiful, honestly, at the well. I always come away each night just inspired by the women there. They build my faith.
Yeah. And I found, you know, earlier this week we were together and you had the opportunity to share this story with a group of women who weren't all Christians. Mm-hmm. They were leaders in different areas of business or mm-hmm. connected to just doing really cool things in the world. And yet they weren't all faith-based. And yet hearing your story and the honesty of it, it seemed the reaction was the same mm-hmm. as you might hear mm-hmm. from Christian women mm-hmm. where they're saying you're speaking to something mm-hmm. that I'm feeling, because innate in all of us is this need to experience this kind of freedom because God designed us for it, whether we recognize yeah. it or not.
The beauty of truth is it resonates in all of us, whether or not we know God or claim him. And we all want hope that truth offers. And so that's what's awesome about the word of God, is that whether or not we have consciously acknowledged to accept or reject God, when we hear something that is true, it resonates and stirs our hearts. And I found that this weekend. I found people leaning in and wanting to ask more questions, because I think people are so refreshed that someone in the church can say, hey, I'm not perfect and I'm sorting this out with you, but I'm being honest and vulnerable in this journey with God and intimate communion with him. And so the question I always ask people is, A, do you believe there's a God? And if you do you think he cares? And then if you think he might, then C, are you willing to invite him into your story? And it's hard to say no to that. If you think that there might be a God, ultimately you say, my life isn't perfect. So yes, I want to invite him into that journey. And God's a gentleman. He's not going to bulldoze the door down. He does give us that choice to accept or reject him. And it's been sweet to see women just open to that idea.
You're listening to Q Ideas. I'm Gabe Lyons, the founder and president of Q. And if you're wondering who Rebecca is that you're hearing, that's my wife. That's why we have such a familiar relationship, because we've been married now for almost 20 years. We have 3 children, and we're continuing this conversation with her on the night that her new book launches, called You Are Free, Go and Be Who You Already Are. And we're talking about the topic of freedom and how God wants all of us to experience it. So let's continue to listen in to my conversation with Rebecca. Well, I know together we want to invite people to come join us in Nashville for Q, yes. April 26th to 28th, and especially the morning of April 26th. Though for anybody attending, any women, mm-hmm. you're invited to Q Women, which is taking place on April 26th in the morning from 9 to noon mm-hmm. here in Nashville. And then the main event for Q kicks off at 2 p.m. So yeah. come in the night before or come in early that morning and be with us. It's going to be a 3-hour mm-hmm. morning.
Deep dive.
Where we're going to hear from multiple presenters and stories and people you've heard of, and then some you've never heard of, we're going to introduce you to, who are living out their callings mm-hmm. with freedom mm-hmm. and really expressing a lot of the story and message, but in all kinds of environments, internationally, domestically, in their homes. And so it's going to be a great morning. Any other thoughts you want to add for women who might be thinking about joining us in April?
I think the posture of everything that we want to be about is be a community of women that support and affirm each other, that speak life and truth over each other, that champion all the natural gifts and assignments really that God gives each of us. And so Q Women is a place to do that, to listen and hear what he's doing in each of our journeys and stories, and to lift that up, to learn from, and then to offer that to each other as well.
Well, Rebecca Lyons, it's fun doing life with you.
Gabe Lyons,
proud
thank
of you,
you
for this book and this project. Until we see each other again over the dinner table in an hour, we are all for you at Q and for all that you're doing as you take this message out over the next couple months. So
love you.
Love you too. Well, I hope you enjoyed hearing more from Rebecca and even get a little more insights into who she is and to the uniqueness of how God's designed and called her. It's been amazing from my perspective to get to see the ministry that's going forward through her, how God's been using her to minister to so many people. And we see especially women responding to this message of freedom, of calling, of really understanding at the deepest level what God has for all of his children. And so if you enjoyed this conversation, I want to encourage you to go buy the book. You are free. You can buy this at any major bookseller, online, at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Lifeway, any place books are sold. You can experience that. And also check out her website where there's more videos and content and places where if you want to have this conversation with your friends, if you want to bring people together to really engage what this might look like for you and in your friendship community, go to RebeccaLyons.com where you can learn more about how you can engage this conversation locally. Thank you for being with us for another edition of Q Ideas. We'll look forward to seeing you next week. This show is made possible in partnership with Faith Radio and Northwestern Media.
Thank you for listening to the Q Ideas with Gabe Lyons podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. You can make your gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of Q Ideas with Gabe Lyons, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or on your podcast player. And thank you for sharing this audio link with a friend and growing the impact of Q Ideas with Gabe Lyons.